Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Today, we're talking about updates within the MVAA and some exciting things that are happening that you may not know about. Joining us to discuss that today is Katie Golden, the Special Events Coordinator for the MVAA. Also joining us today will be John Stauffer, the Resource Center Tech Manager, and Lindell Holm, the Director of the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. We have some great information for you today. We want to make sure you get your calendars out, that you are able to write down these websites, and make sure that you're able to attend some of these things that we have going on. So we hope that you will stay tuned and stick around, because we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. And as you know, a lot of times I spend this time talking about some of the things that we have going on in the agency, maybe what's in the news, what's happening. And, you know, we are fast approaching Veterans Day, and we have some exciting events coming up around Veterans Day. You know, first off, I wanted to mention that Detroit was chosen by the VA Secretary Dennis McDonough as a regional site for Michigan to host Veterans Day events. So we're really excited to be participating in the parade that Dick Chapman and his group puts on down in Corktown on November 6th. But right before that, we have this amazing event that we will be doing for the second year, and it's the Veterans Gala. And joining me to talk about all the logistics and all the fun things that are going to be happening is Katie Golden, our events coordinator at the MVAA. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for joining. And so we have this great event coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about what the event is about and what's the purpose?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for asking. So this is our second annual Veterans Gala. We hosted this last year at Selfridge at the helicopter hangar, but we chose to increase it a little bit bigger this year. So we have reserved the Lansing Center, and we'll be taking over their exhibit halls to have a regal night of dancing. And there's going to be a big award ceremony, great food, and lots of people enjoying each other's company. Both veterans, civilians, current Guard members, and lots of fun.
Lots of fun. We had close to 500 people last year, right?
We sure did. It was a big bunch of happy people dressed all in their finery. It was so nice to see ball gowns and medals, and it was really impressive.
Yeah, it was. And I will say our awards nomination process has closed already. And so we received awards for all those categories. Can you tell us what categories we can expect to see awardees from?
Absolutely. So there's seven award categories that the MVAA is hosting. There's the 2022 Veteran of the Year, the MVAA and Trust Fund Exceptional Service Award, the Veteran Friendly Volunteer of the Year, the Community Outreach and Regional Engagement Award, also known as CORE, the DMVA Employee of the Year, the VA Employee of the Year, and the Veteran Service Provider of the Year.
That's great. You know, and it's, you know, I would encourage anyone out there to come see some of the great individuals who are going to be honored for all of their great work that they're doing in Michigan for veterans, from VA employees to, you know, state MVAA or State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs employees to, you know, veteran advocates and veteran nonprofits out there. I mean, this is a great opportunity to, you know, see your peers and dressed up, right? But also see some of those folks who are still actively serving our country and celebrate. So how much are tickets?
So tickets are $60 per person. They include admission, a strolling buffet, non-alcoholic beverages, but a cash bar will be available. And the event is open to the public, and we'd love for everybody to attend. And proceeds from the event will go to the National Guard Association of Michigan's Veteran Support Grant.
That's great. And, you know, the National Guard Association of Michigan, they're doing some great things. They're doing the 54 by 24 with trying to get, you know, 54 service dogs into hands of veterans. And then they're also, they also have this fund that can help not only National Guard members, but also those who are veterans with emergency assistance potentially. So the proceeds from this will go to that. And so I know we're looking for attendees, still accepting sponsors at this time, correct?
We sure are. We are actively accepting sponsorships, and we would love for some assistance to really make this event be the best it can be.
Absolutely. So where can people find out more information about where to buy a ticket, maybe what to wear, where can they sponsor, where can they sponsor a veteran to attend? Like, where can they find more information out about that?
So I'll give you a couple website links. So if you have a pencil and paper, if you'd like to write this down, to purchase a ticket online, it's through the National Guard Association of Michigan's website. And that address is www.ngam.org/2022-gala, G-A-L-A. That's where to purchase a ticket. Similar website, if you'd like to sponsor, and we'd be more than happy to send you a sponsorship packet. I would suggest sending me an email, and I'll be glad to share that with you. My email address is goldenk1@michigan.gov. That's goldenk1@michigan.gov.
That's great information, Katie. And, you know, I'm so excited. There's going to be, I know there'll be dignitaries there. There will be, you know, officers and enlisted and, you know, veterans and spouses and retirees and community advocates. So I'm really excited to see this. And people are coming from all over the state, correct?
You are correct. Definitely from all over the state. They'll be traveling. We did get some hotel room blocks too at both the Radisson and the Courtyard by Marriott. And they were very generous to allow the hotel room cost to be just $85 a night plus required taxes and fees.
Well, that's great. So those are going to go fast. So, you know, make sure you contact the Radisson in Lansing, which is, you know, not far from the, I think, is that the one that's connected to the Lansing Center?
You are correct. It's connected by a pedestrian walkway. You don't even have to go outside.
Awesome. So make sure that you call if you're going to be coming from across the state, or if you just want to stay that night, as rooms will be going quickly. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this, Katie. And I hope to see all of you at the gala on November 5th. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective with John Stauffer and Lindell Holm. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me as our next guest are John Stauffer and Lindell Holm from the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. John Stauffer is the manager of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency's Veteran Resource Service Center. He's proud to be serving those who served us all. His previous positions include executive director at Helping Hands Respite Care, manager for Holiday Retirement, Inc., and business consultant and business owner of Stafford Realty. He has served on many boards and nonprofits over the years, to include the Boy Scouts of America, United Way, Habitat for Humanity, Michigan Realtors Association, Substance Abuse Council of Greater Battle Creek, and Battle Creek Association of Realtors. He earned his bachelor's from Michigan State University in Materials Logistics Management and a master's in Business Administration from Campbell State University. In his free time, he enjoys working with wood, logic puzzles, and spending as much time as possible with his grandchildren. Our second guest during these segments is Lindell Holm, who is retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Marine Corps in 2013 and now serves as the director of the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund, which provides emergency grants to Michigan wartime era veterans. He served 25 years as a helicopter pilot and completed several deployments in combat and non-combat operations. He was the site commander for Marine Wing Support Group 47 at Selfridge Air National Guard Base from 2009 to 2013. His awards and decorations include Meritorious Service Medal, Air Medal with Bronze Star Device, and Numeral II, Armed Forces Expeditionary Service Medal, Southwest Asia Service Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Global War on Terror Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, and the Skowronski Life-Saving Award, two of those. He received a master's degree in Christian apologetics from Biola University in 2001 and completed his undergraduate work at the University of Minnesota. He lives in Rochester Hills with his wife, Gina, and their three children. Welcome back to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, we are talking today about some of the things that we have going on at the MBAA, some of the new updates. And I wanted to bring you all back because, you know, it's been a while since I had you, since we talked anything about what's going on in the Resource Center. So, you know, John, we've been working hard. I know you've been working hard since you've been here. Definitely been putting in a lot of work since 2019, especially during the pandemic. Can you talk about some of the things that have happened in the Resource Center since you've been on board with the MBAA?
Well, one of the most exciting things that's happened as I have been with the MBAA is been you, Director, because when you came on board, you allowed us to go to full staff within the Resource Center. And that means we have 8 technicians that are answering calls and responding to veterans, a team lead, and myself. And the value of that is that it allows us to be able to expand in the roles that we're playing in. As COVID has receded, now we're in a position where we can do more events. And with a team of 8 technicians and a team lead, I can actually perform 2 live events on the same day and still have enough staffing available to take care of those veterans and their family members who call in on a daily basis.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I didn't pay you to say that for sure, but no, I appreciate that. You know, we are working at full staff because we have so many, I know we have veterans calling all the time. Can you give us potentially an estimate of how many calls you're receiving maybe a day or a week?
Well, we'll break it backwards. This year we'll receive over 30,000 calls this year. We'll have over 40,000 touches to a veteran. And when I say a touch, I mean, we are not only getting calls, we're seeing an expansion of veterans emailing us and using the website. And that changes the dynamic of how our technicians work with those veterans. And if you take that number of 40,000 and you break that down backwards to a month and to a week and to a day, you're looking at about 150 contacts with a veteran a day, whether that be via email or mail or the website or calls, which is still the general way we receive our information is via calls from both family members and veterans. But we're seeing the website gaining ground quickly on that.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, and that's important too, because that means people are calling for different things, right? They're calling for information. What are some of the other things they're calling for?
Well, the number one reason they've called us, and it has been the number one reason since we stood up as an agency, was to receive their discharge paperwork, that DD-214. But we are seeing a change in that as our younger veterans are starting to reach out to us. Those younger veterans are aware of e-benefits, and they're going out and getting that paperwork and their medical records and the DD-214s on e-benefits. And then they're calling us for other more relevant reasons to them, such as employment or quality of life or education. I think within the next 2 years, we're going to see that DD-214 recede, and the number one call we will get will be for benefits or services from the VA. And those calls are those calls that we typically hand off to a veteran service officer. So our relationship with those veteran service officers is just going to become more and more important as time goes on.
Yeah, that's true, and that's critical. And you know, looking at the number of veterans we are consistently trying to drive to the agency and to the hotline, whether that be through this radio show or through in-person events, I mean, I think it's important that they're getting connected to the resources and getting the right connectivity. And so I wanted to kind of touch on a little bit. We were just awarded our first federal grant ever for the agency for the Staff Sergeant Parker Gordon Fox grant, $750,000. And we're going to be utilizing a big portion of that to bring on 2 more individuals, which we're going to call community analysts, if you will, to do some more, I guess, case management. And so what does that look like in the interaction for what you all do? I mean, what are you thinking about that?
The exciting piece of that for the technicians within the Resource Service Center are that we have a core group of veterans who reach out to us on a regular basis. When I say regular, sometimes several times a week. And we as technicians constantly try to find that right connection for them, but we've never had anything internally to deal with that. So now having these two analysts that are going to come in here, we're going to be able to take these people that we've wanted so badly to serve, and we're going to be able to handle them in-house. And if those community analysts, as you call them, are unable to handle them in-house, our hope is that they're going to have built that relationship with that veteran over time and being able to take the time and talk and work with them, that when they turn them over to another agency like the Walking with Warrior Navigators, that that veteran will then follow up because of that relationship and time that has been built with the community analyst and that veteran. I'm very excited, and my team's very excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. I mean, and I knew they're going to do some more suicide prevention screening and all of that. You know, one of the other things I know that you work in the area that you work in is with buddy to buddy. So you're working, you're on those meetings and talking to them and finding out the needs that they have in the community. How does that referral work? Like, how does that work for if somebody calls and they're just, I mean, how are you connecting people to buddies? Like, how does that work?
Well, we have a couple of different options, and it has evolved over time. But right now, we have key people within the Buddy to Buddy program, the SVCEOs, that we hand that referral off to. We do not make the direct contact as a technician to that buddy, because that veteran might have a specific need. They might want to be connected to another female veteran. And if we connect it directly to that buddy, we will not be able to make that connection. So we hand it off to the person who knows who all the buddies are and who the best fit is. And usually that is based on region. So we try to get them as close as we can to where that veteran lives. And then based upon whatever that veteran's preference is, if that veteran has had PTSD, they might want to be speaking with somebody who's had a similar experience. So we share all the data we can, the technicians, with that direct person in charge of the buddies, and then that person passes it down to the individual buddies to make sure we're making the best pairing that we can possibly make.
Yeah, that's good information. And, you know, I have one follow-up question that I'm going to ask after the break, and then we'll talk about your connectivity and how you're referring folks to the trust fund as well. But I know that we have a great team, and so I'm really excited to be able to continue talking about this. So after the commercial break, we'll be speaking with John and Lindell from the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We've been talking with John Stauffer from the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and we'll be speaking with Lindell Holm. But I wanted to follow up on a conversation we were just having about the buddy-to-buddies. So, you know, does a veteran, if they're calling in, do they have to ask for a buddy-to-buddy mentor, or do we refer them? How is that working?
That is a great question, Director, because It's rare that that individual that's on that phone is going to even be aware that we have a buddy-to-buddy program. So it is on our technicians who are trained to ask those questions, those probing questions, to understand if that might be a situation where a buddy would be helpful. For instance, we were talking about those people that the community analysts might help earlier. The person who's called in several times and asked us for a phone number, and we've given them that phone number, and when we ask them, have you called that number, and they say no, might be a good person for a buddy, because that buddy might help be able to spend the time and get and work with them to be able to get that phone call made, to get them over that barrier that they've had that they've not been able to accomplish by themselves. So our technicians are trained to ask those probing questions, and if a buddy seems appropriate, we'll offer that as an opportunity.
Yeah, that's great information. And so, you know, you do a lot of work, really is the central point of our agency of connectivity, the Resource Service Center is. And so one of those connection points that you have is right within our agency is to the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. And so I wanted to talk with you, Lindell, a little bit about how you receive referrals and how it is working with the resource center.
That's a great point to bring up because we work very closely with the resource center and they are fantastic people to work with, very knowledgeable. If they do encounter a veteran that needs emergency assistance, they will direct that veteran or that family member to the county office or directly over to my staff if it's more appropriate in order to get an application going for emergency assistance.
And you know, speaking of staff, you have staff members who do all sorts of things. They process applications, right? They write checks. You even have someone who works with partners. And so can you tell us a little bit about some of those positions and how they're working to make sure veterans are getting connected to emergency assistance?
Yeah, I've got a fantastic staff. I feel very blessed to be able to work with them. We've got a large part of the job they do is to process applications that are coming in from the counties where we have county agents normally located in those county Veterans Affairs offices, and they will take applications and interview the veteran and collect all the information needed for the application and send them up to our office. And then my staff will process them, whether it involves paying out a grant, then we will do that right there in our office. We typically can turn that around very quickly. If it's not the same day, it'll be usually the next day to send a payment out if a grant had been approved at the local level, the county level. Then we have some counties where they do not have agents at the county level. And in that case, that scenario, my staff would then begin the application process with the veteran directly. And they'll contact the veteran, conduct the interview, complete the application, the necessary documents. And then we'll have that grant voted on by a regional committee, and then the same process would be, if it's approved, we'll pay it out, and if it's not approved, then we would send out a notice of decision. So we've got basically three people that work that system, and then we have another person who works cases that exclusively go to the Board of Trustees for further review. Usually a high dollar amount or a repetitive applicant. And she works on those cases specifically. And then, as you mentioned, we have a relatively new position of a person who is seeking out partners. And one, as an example, one partner we have is Habitat for Humanity that we've been working very closely with in certain parts of the state to be able to collaborate on usually larger projects, more involved projects for veterans and refurbishing their homes to get them, get major repairs taken care of. And we've been working with some other organizations as well, consumers and other places. And we're looking to expand upon that and find more partners that we can working together to be able to serve those veterans in need better than we are today.
Yeah, you know, the trust fund and the board, you all are doing some amazing work too. I mean, just the gains and the changes and I would say the opportunities that you've had open for veterans in the past few years has been phenomenal. And we'll talk about a couple of those, but I did want to I did want to talk a little bit about like some of the things you were doing for food security, for instance. Can you talk about some of the things the trust fund did to help with food insecurity?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that because how we got started with that was right after COVID began, and there kind of was a run on a lot of the food pantries throughout the state. And obviously our veterans were impacted by that. So the MVAA recognized a need there for the some food assistance programs to shore up this now increased need for food assistance, and we're happy to have yourself there at the Board of Trustees meeting and to discuss that with the Board of Trustees, and I think they responded enthusiastically to say, hey, you know, this is exactly what the trust fund can be used for in an emergency type of situation. And what I love about the Food for Vets program that we did was a collaboration with MVAA, so that MVAA ran the program, and the Board of Trustees provided the funds to get that going. And I think we did help a lot of veterans throughout the state. One thing we've done here recently the UP was a little bit more of a challenge because there's fewer big chain stores, grocery stores up in the UP. So, but we've found a way around that. And so actually for next year, we will be collaborating with another organization up in the UP to provide more food assistance that's specifically targeted in the UP.
Yeah, I love it. You know, meeting needs right where veterans are, and that's what's important. And that's why I love that we all share that mission. And I would say, and then we have a short time before we go to commercial break, but, you know, what are some of the things that may be off limits? I know there's eligibility requirements, like you have to be a wartime era veteran or 65 and older peacetime era veterans can apply as well. But are there certain things that may be off limits that don't qualify as emergency?
Yeah, we try to stick with that definition of emergent need as closely as we can. So the assistance, the request needs to be unforeseen. And it also needs to be a situation that would be considered short term. So in other words, if there's a long term financial, like income deficit in the household, where they just can't manage or sustain their living expenses, their current living expenses, that would be a challenge. Basically, that would be something that the trust fund is not designed for. A long-term type of assistance. We're here for one a hand up type of assistance for a one-time type of need. Now, having said that, I mean, you can't apply more than once, but the idea is that, you know, with this grant, we will resolve this particular situation for them. So things like credit cards and legal issues, those are things that would typically not be considered emergent needs.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, you know, when we return from commercial break, we'll be speaking with you and John just to kind of tie up how you all really work together. So we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. All right. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me in our final section here is John Stauffer and Lindell Holm. We've been talking about the Michigan Veterans Resource Service Center and the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. And so, you know, veterans call into our line and they may talk to you, John. And then what triggers them getting sent over to the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund?
Well, there's a couple different things, Director, that could actually happen. And I'm very proud of the fact that one of the things the MVIRSC, the Michigan Veteran Resource Service Center, is the front door for the Michigan Veteran Trust Fund. I mean, they literally don't even have a phone number. People reach them through us to begin with. And I think that's awesome because that's how intertwined we are as a working unit within the MVAA. But again, when a veteran calls in and they have a specific need, as Lindell shared earlier, if it's an emergent need, and depending on that, we'll listen, whether their car won't start or they need transportation to work or their septic system went bad or they need a ramp on the front of their house. We have other resources for that. But if it looks like it's one of the best fits from the trust fund, we usually will go to the trust fund as our default for that. And then if the trust fund decides that this is not the best fit, that there might be another thing, then we'll work together to make sure we get the veteran to the appropriate resource to be able to handle what their request was.
Yeah, that's a great process. And so for those out here who may be wondering, you know, do I call or how do I get this information? Be transparent. You know, if you're calling in for your D-214, for instance, because you're trying to upload it to look for jobs, say that, because we could get you connected to jobs, and we can get you connected to that emergency assistance potentially, but we don't know what we don't know. And the Resource Service Center techs are not going to probe you to find out everything that's going on in your life. So we're here to help. We're here to connect you. And we're here to connect you to resources like the trust fund. And so, you know, Lindell, you did some other things throughout the last couple of years, like you worked with an entrepreneurship program, you know, you've done some other things. Can you talk about some of those other unique things that the trust fund has done to really help veterans in different areas?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. This is kind of an exciting time for the trust fund. We've had a fewer over the course of the last several years, fewer applications to our emergency grant program. And it's understandable with a fewer number of veterans and so forth. But the Board of Trustees looked at that as, well, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here to try to find other ways to assist veterans. So with that, they learned about and found this Michigan Veteran Entrepreneur Lab through Grand Valley State University. And we began collaborating with them and supporting them in their entrepreneurial training for veterans that are interested in starting businesses, and expanding that, making it more available to more veterans throughout the state. So we've had cohorts, additional classes in Detroit, and in one just started up in Ann Arbor. We'll be having another one in Macomb in the spring, and be going on and trying to expand that program, getting it out there for more veterans to take advantage of. We also have been working with Zero Day, and they do some great work down there in southwestern Michigan primarily, but they have been helping veterans in like with apprenticeships and getting them trained up in different areas. One of those areas is the food industry. And they train veterans to work in the food industry. They had an opportunity to expand into doing a food trailer, like a food. So training veterans for the mobile food truck industry. And the Board of Trustees was able to help them with that by buying them a food trailer to get that program going to assist veterans with that. And so it's exciting. It's thinking outside the box and trying to find other ways that we can help veterans. And you already mentioned the 65 plus peacetime program. That's another thing that came about where for a long time we've been asked, can we assist peacetime veterans? And basically the Board of Trustees looked at it and said, now we can, you know, so they created the new program. So veterans that are from a peacetime era, that are 65 and older, and they wouldn't normally have been eligible for an emergency grant, but now with this new program, they are.
Well, that's great. And so, you know, John, I would just ask this question because maybe people don't know how much does it cost for them for someone to be able to get access to DD214 or utilize any of the resources and services you have?
Thank you for asking that question, because we get so frustrated within the MVRSC, the Michigan Veteran Resource Service Center, when someone calls in and said, I just paid $50 to get my DD-214 and it only took a week. Well, guess what? We can get it to you same day and it's free. It costs you nothing. We have over 800,000 DD-214 discharge paperwork records for Michigan veterans that are in our system. And if you call us at 1-800-642-4838, I got to get that in there, 1-800-642-4838, that's 1-800-MICH-VET, we can get you that DD-214 same day, and it costs you nothing. We cannot refer you to any service that costs any money. So if you need help, I don't care if it's employment, education, I don't care if it is for a emergent need, I don't care if you're hungry, we're going to help you, and the cost is zero.
That's absolutely wonderful. I hope you all heard that. Please share that word. And Lindell, same for you. Like, is there an application fee? What does it cost for someone to maybe go through that process?
No fee at all. So same thing. We are here to serve veterans, and those veterans that are facing emergent financial needs, the assistance is free, and we're going to, you know, take care of you in the best way that we can and get that application through. And again, when it comes to actually getting that payment on time, we go out of our way. We it has happened. I'm not saying we do this every day, but it has happened that we have actually purchased a furnace for, in this case, it was a widow of a veteran in one day. This was February, so it was cold. Mm-hmm. And we found out about it on a Friday morning. And by the end of the day, we had payment to the vendor or the installer that was going to put in the furnace the very next day. So
both of you all have rock star teams, so that doesn't seem like it was impossible at all. I know it was probably a challenge, but you have team members who are, they're either veterans or they're connected to veterans, family members of veterans. And so they get it, they understand it, and they care about the programs, and they care about the veterans that we serve. So that's how you're able to get there. That speaks volumes. You know, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you both, you know, for those who are listening, maybe advocates, people in the community that serve veterans, can you talk about just real quickly the top three issues that or things that you see? Maybe it's in the last month, the last year, but like the top three type of calls that you receive, so people know what the needs are.
I would say, Director, for the Resource Service Center, it's particularly really lately, we're dealing with issues with homelessness and issues with rent. You would think that with the stay on rental and stuff, that would not be a problem, but we just get a large increase in calls just recently as it pertains to homelessness and rent. Food insecurities is a big one for us. Fortunately, we have a lot of great resources if somebody does call in for that, including the trust fund, who has helped us with food insecurity in the past. But food insecurity is a big one. And again, the largest call we get outside of 214s is that veteran looking to get connected to the benefits that they've earned and have coming to them. So those are the three biggies that I'd mention.
All right, Lindell, real quick.
Yeah, on the trust fund side, definitely utilities is by far the most that we type of grants that we pay out. But we've also seen a lot more wells and septic systems recently.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, anyone who's out there serving veterans, these are some of the needs that we're seeing through the calls and the 30,000 in a year that we're seeing. And so these are definitely helpful. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining and talking about the great programs that you're running within the MVAA and the Trust Fund. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you
for asking us, Director.
Thank you. For those listening out there, don't forget you can call us at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838 if you need connection to any of these resources and benefits that we have. We didn't even talk about all of them. And then if you're struggling and you just need to talk to someone, don't hesitate to call the crisis line, the Veterans Crisis Line at 988-PRESS-1. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on the Veterans.